In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Breath of Life. Please. I want to tell you about a family tradition in our household. Legos. Got this wonderful tradition from my sister. As an engineer and a builder, my sister loved to do Legos, and she would do expert builds at the end of a long, stressful day. It was her therapy, her stress relief. As many of you know, she is no longer with us. But those closest to her received her disassembled Lego sets in the mail, courtesy of her husband, for each of us to rebuild on our own time. I built one immediately with my child, the Palace Theater, and I am now just getting back to another set, and then I still have one more after that. And it is therapeutic, and it does help to go through it. And while this is about grief and it's about memory, to be honest, I have kind of caught the bug in my own right. In fact, my Christmas gift for this year was the Lego Notre Dame Cathedral. And I cannot wait. Oh, thank you. There we go. Can you see it now? Is that better? Can you see? Oh, that just sounds great. I cannot wait to put it together. Maybe I will put it together on my sabbatical. Or maybe I won't do anything to do with a cathedral at all on my sabbatical. Legos and cathedrals go very well together, by the way. The next time that you are in Washington, D.C., stop by the National Cathedral, where today they are installing Presiding Bishop Sean Rowe. But stop by the gift shop, and there you will see a massive Lego build. It is, you can see it coming together, the National Cathedral in Legos, a build that is years in the making. It's the cathedral itself, and for $50 or more, you can lay a few bricks. It's a great fundraiser, and perhaps if you really make a healthy donation, you can lay a great, like, Bishop Buddy right there in the pulpit, right? Setting that tableau. Building Legos is both creation and meditation. You're actually building something. Yes, it's a toy, but you're actually building something that is worth keeping. And it can go up on the shelf and be kind of permanent. But it is just as much fun, or rather, you get to have the fun all over again if, after a little while, you break it down, put it in a box, and then come back to it years later, and then build it all over again. Although I guarantee you this second time you will have a few pieces missing, which will be aggravating, but it's still satisfying because now you've got those problem-solving, puzzle-solving endorphins going. So if you can find a matching piece, you will be very happy. Cathedrals, of course, are meant to be a little more permanent than Legos. These things are built to last. In the words of Bishop Leonard, whose idea this whole thing was a century and a half ago, Trinity Cathedral would stand as a witness to God's permanent, a witness to the permanence of God's presence in the world. But it turns out that Millionaire's Row, which was an implicit part of the resource engine, was not so permanent. Cleveland's ranking as the sixth city in America was not so permanent. And I can assure you, from sitting in on a few property and sustainability meetings, don't let the stone fool you. there ain't nothing in this place that is actually permanent. Before we get wrapped up in nostalgia, though, or even sadness, let's think a bit about life cycles. When Jesus is presented in the temple, that place was 500 years old. I mean, our 118 years is impressive. I will give you that. But it is early adolescence in cathedral years. If you want to look to Jerusalem or to the basilicas of Europe, the presentation of the Lord is a story told through the lens, through the eyes of two faithful folk who were sitting there in that cathedral, that 500-year-old cathedral, who were a part of that tradition, but who had also been given a promise that they would witness something new in their years there. Simeon is a righteous and a devout man to whom the Holy Spirit has revealed that he will not taste death until he has seen the Messiah. Anna is an aging widow who was always at the temple, and seeing Jesus, She then goes and proclaims what she has seen to everybody who's hanging out there on the temple steps, to folk who love Jerusalem and who want to see it thrive. There in the temple, a new thing was unfolding in the midst of a very old thing. And you can tell that a place is holy when it can hold all of these things, when it can hold continuity and change and stability and dynamism, and it holds all of those things and still be a place of living faith. The Holy Spirit had promised something new to Simeon. Holy Spirit had rested on Simeon and promised that he would meet the Messiah before he died. And that promise meant everything to him. Not wealth or status or comfort or stability or the ability to pass things on to his children, but rather the promise that he would see God's anointed in his lifetime. One theologian reads this and asks, what does a person most want to see before they die? What are we passing along to the next generation? What is this world going to look like when I am gone? These are big questions. These are temple questions, because they're bigger than us. Because they are bigger than us, they become the plumb lines for how we live our lives today, how we build our communities today, what happens to our future if we let consumerism or materialism define our lives today, what happens to our children and our grandchildren if we devalue truth and mercy? What happens if we let our contempt for one another diminish how we regard our fellow human beings? What does Simeon want to see before he dies? He wants to see that God's promise is real and that his faith will live on after he is gone. He wants to go to his rest knowing that the living God is among us and will bring healing and justice and holiness to the people. And then there was Anna, another person of some seniority, a woman of great age who never left the temple, they said. They was there fasting and praying and worshiping day and night. And I think Anna's witness is that she sees Jesus, she sees the Messiah for who he is, and immediately she runs out the door, to proclaim what she has seen. She goes out and praises God to the folks on the temple steps. She goes to tell the story. Anna takes the message of what she has seen out there, out into the world, to the crowd that was waiting outside the door. And who was there? Who was in that crowd? Who was there day in and day out, waiting there just beyond the doors, waiting for a word from the temple? It was those folks who were looking for the redemption of the city. Folk who believe that a holy city is one where the hungry are fed, where the dignity of every child of God is seen and honored. Rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight, native-born or undocumented. It's a city where the poor are lifted up and the people can live in equity. Do you hunger for that healing, for the redemption of our nation and the world? Is there something in that hunger that brought you to this temple today, hoping that a glimpse of the living God will empower you and sustain you for a journey that some days and some weeks feels unbearable? Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I have to imagine that this temple that was now 500 years old when Jesus' family walks in the door, I have to imagine that, like anything, that it has seen better days. I have to imagine that it is a little bit shabby. Not everything ages well. But I know this, that this temple was absolutely saturated with prayer. And it was being made ready for a new pillar, for a new spiritual foundation that was raised up not by master architects, but by Simeon and Anna, forgive me, two old coots who were there day in and day out, two humble temple folk. And what was it about those two? What was it? What is it that Simeon and Anna did that made this moment happen? What was the absolute prerequisite? What was the essential building block for sacred encounters there in that moment and every moment that was to come in the years afterwards? What was special about Simeon and Anna? Well, yes, they were faithful, but here's the other thing. They were there. They were there. I think the essential stewardship message in the years and the decades to come is this. Stewardship is showing up in person and in prayer. Faithfulness is thinking of the people who you will never meet, who will benefit from your presence and your ministry today. Do you ever think about that? That by taking that place in your pew, by being where you are today, you are here, I hope, for yourself, but you are also making something possible and vital and holy for people 25, 50, and 100 years down the road. If you are joining us online, you're doing that as well. You're creating a space for a wider witness. Co-creation means showing up with our whole selves, and it means abandoning a consumerist approach, which is American Christianity par excellence, and instead giving our hearts to faith communities that require much of us. But the reward, we know, is beyond measure. I want to go back to the Lego sets. And I assure you, after the annual meeting today, I will be going back to the Lego sets. Even though I know that the Lego sets that I put together are ones that have already been assembled and broken down, I know that they are used goods. The feeling of creation is every bit as strong as if they were fresh out of the box. Actually, it's far stronger. Because I know that every brick has a story. I know who held every brick. And because of that, I know that every brick is filled with a measure of grace. I want you to look around. I want you to look at every brick, at every tile, at every bit of stone, in every chair, in every pew. And know that each of those is filled with a measure of grace. Know that this place is saturated with prayers and that you are bringing prayers. You are saturating it too for those who will come after us. Now, this is a total coincidence that this Sunday falls on the Feast of the Presentation. That happens once every 7 years, but also that it happens to be our annual meeting. The Holy Spirit is clearly having fun with a Venn diagram right now. You are here on that particular day. You are here, and you are here for a reason. Are you here like Simeon to meet God and to pass that gift on to future generations? Are you like Anna, here to take that gift into the world that is hungry to see justice, hungry to see the city thrive? Or are you here because you love the bricks? You feel called to snap your Lego brick into those that were laid a century ago, knowing that your brick is every bit as essential to the integrity and beauty and witness of this sacred place. Simeon said, he prayed, he sang with gratitude. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all the world to see. Here in the temple, here in our hearts, we hold and we are held by the Savior we have been promised. Here we find a light for all people. Here we find a promise of redemption. Here we find the gift of eternity. Amen.